I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please keep your Bibles open to Ezra chapter 7. And our meditation this afternoon is from verse 1 to verse 11. The theme for our meditation this afternoon is a prepared man. Now, coming to Ezra chapter 7, about 58 years have passed. That is 58 years between Ezra chapter 6 and Ezra chapter 7. We know they completed the building of the temple in about 515 BC. And the time now, Ezra chapter 7, verse 8 tells us that it was in the seventh year of the king, that is, the king Artaxerxes. So the seventh year of the king Artaxerxes, that is, of his reign, is now about 457 BC. So if you do a calculation, about 58 years have passed between Ezra chapter 6 and Ezra chapter 7. And now, in these 58 years, God has worked in a marvelous way, because between Ezra chapter 6 and Ezra chapter 7, that is where we have the events that transpired in the book of Esther. So you know how the Lord delivered the Jews or the children of Israel through Mordecai and Esther. The events described there, it transpired between Ezra chapter 6 and 7 through the Persian king Ahasuerus. Now the Lord has brought about a great deliverance, and this is not the first time. Because we remember 80 years ago, so 80 years back from Ezra chapter 7, was when the Lord first decreed, or the Lord moved the heart of King Cyrus to decree the return of the children of Israel. So that was Ezra chapter 1. So 81 years have now passed, right, from Cyrus, the decree of Cyrus, to now Ezra chapter 7. We have considered already from Ezra chapter 1 to 6 how God moves. God moves in a mysterious way. And as God moves and He works, He also moves to provide for His people. He provided the right people, the right men. He provided the materials that were needed. He also provided the methods in the rebuilding of the nation of Israel. But the question is always, are you willing? And that was what we considered. Are you willing to serve? And if you are willing, then set up the altar. Make sure that worship is central in your family, central in your life. Lay the foundations. But as you do these things, remember, there will be oppositions. But what is our answer to oppositions? Obedience. Obedience is the answer to opposition. But as you obey, it requires trust. We saw how when they desired to obey the Lord, to rebuild the temple, they just obeyed and they entrusted the results to the Lord. The decree was, the letter was sent again to the king, and they awaited the decree of the king. Everything is now in the hands of God. Obedience requires trust. But they must not worry, because God is still on the throne. As they think on this thing, and as they saw how God worked, giving them a favorable decree, they could rejoice. And thus, the last time we considered how they dedicated themselves with joy. Rejoice as you remember God's faithfulness. Rejoice in offering yourself to the Lord. Rejoice in purity and in holiness. You cannot find true joy if you do not have holiness. And that was where we ended off the last time. Now, 58 years have passed. Now, in chapter 7, they are again coming back to rebuild this nation. They have already rebuilt the temple, but the Lord will now move them to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, later through Nehemiah. And in Ezra chapter 6, Ezra chapter 7 and Ezra chapter 8, what we will have is the preparation of Ezra for the second return of the children of Israel. There will be a total of three returns of the children of Israel. We have seen already the first return from chapter 1 to 6, that is through Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest. That's the first return. Now in chapter 7 and chapter all the way to the end of the book of Ezra, we have the second return. But Ezra chapter 7 and Ezra chapter 8 will focus on the preparation to this return. Then from Ezra chapter 9, Ezra will tell us what he observed when he went back to the land. So it's interesting that now the Lord spends 2 chapters telling us how we must prepare ourselves. If you want to do the work of the Lord, you need to prepare. You need to be a prepared people. Throughout chapter 7 and chapter 8, there will be 4 messages, right? A series of 4 messages where we will meditate on a preparation. Okay? We will see how God will send a man. So there will be first a prepared man. That is from chapter 7, verse 1 to verse 11. The right man, God will prepare a man. Then God will prepare a decree. Chapter 7, verse 12 to verse 28. The decree of Artaxerxes will be prepared. But remember, it's not just Artaxerxes, it's God who moved Artaxerxes. So God will prepare a decree. And as these things are being prepared, chapter 8, verse 1 to verse 20, God will prepare his people. Now, this chapter 8, verse 1 to 20, if you just take a cursory reading of it, just very quickly, you will see that they are all names. But these names are significant because 3 times in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, we will have a list of names. Okay, 3 times. Once in Ezra chapter 2, another time, Ezra chapter 8, where we have a longer list of names, and then in Nehemiah chapter 7, we will have another long list of names. And when we study that, you need to realize and observe, why was there a switch in the order of the listing of names? Who were these people who were named? So a prepared people. Why was it that the Levites were being emphasized? Who were these people? So a prepared people, very important. Even when you come to study the names, please don't despise this list. And after people have been prepared, the Lord will now prepare the return. From Ezra chapter 8, verse 21, all the way to the end, a prepared return. God will now prepare the return of his people. Then Ezra chapter 9 will be a different thought, a different flow of thought, where now Ezra will describe how he has returned to the land and he now saw the sin of the people. Then he has to correct, he has to rebuke them. But in Ezra chapter 7 and 8, the focus is on how to encourage the people in their returning to the land to rebuild. So, this afternoon our thought is on preparation. When you think about preparation, please be very careful of 2 extremes. There's one extreme where people depend only on their own preparation, whether be it for missions, church camps, preparation for your own life, your own education, your own future. We place a lot of weight, we emphasize our preparation. And this is one extreme we must guard again. Never be so engrossed or obsessed with your own preparation as if you are in total control of all the circumstances around you, you're in total control of your own life. Never fall into this extreme. When you are thinking such thoughts, remember, God is in control. God is the one who is on the throne. However, you must also guard against the other extreme. As you think of how God is the one in control, how God prepares, never also fall into this thinking or this mindset where you say, since God is in control, since God will prepare, I need not do anything. We must guard against these both extremes. An overemphasizing of the sovereignty of God or the overemphasizing of the human responsibility. No, you cannot overemphasize either one of these. These two must be harmonized, must be viewed together. God is in control. God is sovereign. He prepares. But we as men, we also must fulfill our responsibility. We must also prepare. And so these things will be put into perspective. So in Ezra chapter 7, verse 1 to 11, this afternoon as we think of a prepared man, we are going to consider it from these two perspectives. Now in the sense, there's a play of thoughts. Who is the one who prepared them? Who was the one who prepared Ezra? On the one hand, we will see that God was the one who prepared Ezra. On the other hand, we will also see Ezra prepared himself. So from these two perspectives, we will have 2 points this afternoon. God prepared Ezra. And then we will see Ezra also prepared himself. So from verse 1 to verse 9, we will first see the man that is prepared of God, how God prepared Ezra. Then from verse 10 to verse 11, how Ezra prepared himself. So let's consider this first. Two perspectives. The man that is prepared of God. Now from verse 1 to verse 5, we have a list of names. This is Ezra's genealogy that showed his heritage. And it traced back to Aaron. You see the end of verse 5, right? Ezra was the great-great-great-grandson of Aaron, the chief priest. Okay, so this was Ezra's credential, Ezra's genealogy. Now, the first thought that we can see here as God prepared Ezra is that God was the one who prepared the birth of Ezra, his genealogy. Ezra was a descendant of Aaron, and thus this gave him the privilege to serve as a priest. So Ezra was a priest, okay? Was a priest of Israel. Now, how was Ezra born into this line? Who ordained Ezra? It is God. Ezra did not do anything to choose his place of birth, to choose his own line of birth. God was the one who ordained him. God prepared his birth. And when you think about this thought, when God prepares a man, he prepares the birth of a man. Do you sometimes complain about where you are born? Why am I born in Singapore to be a Singaporean? Most of us here are Singaporeans. Why did God give me this birth? Please don't think lightly of where God has placed you. Do you know prophets of old, they recognize this truth? When Jeremiah the prophet thought of his calling in Jeremiah chapter 1 verses 4 and 5, he said, before, all right, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, that's what Jeremiah said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God ordained Jeremiah to be a prophet even from his birth. Do you know that this is the plan that God has for each one of us as well? Where God has placed us, the family into which I'm born into, the country I'm born into. Did you choose the day when you were born? Did you choose the place where you were born? We chose neither. God has ordained our birth. I know there are some Christians who sometimes, after living to a certain point in life, they grow sick of life. They grow tired of life. Why is life so difficult? Maybe the older, the adults, they would be looking at the younger ones and say, how can you say that life is difficult? This is a strawberry generation. Right? Life is so easy for you today. You know how difficult my days were? But then, sometimes try also to understand from the perspective of the younger ones, the kind of pressure that they have to go through. I have heard some adults who say, I don't envy the life of children today. You see the kind of pressures that they have to go through in school. right? CCAs, after that to the studies, and then when you study, you need to get how many A's? There are some people who, if they get 8 A's, but then they get 1 A2, oh, their whole life will collapse in front of them. Who has heaped this kind of pressure? Life is so difficult. And when you think and are confronted with these things, do you sometimes ask yourself, why am I here? Do you sometimes cry out like Job, Lord, I curse the day where I was born. I wish that I can go to the grave. Do you sometimes think like this? Do you know how privileged each one of us are? That God has ordained the day when we were born, the family we are born into, the country we are born into, and He has placed us here. God has prepared each one of us for His purpose. You have a calling. God ordained Ezra's birth. God has ordained your birth. Now, the second thing where God prepared Ezra, we see is closely tied to this. God prepared Ezra's birth for His calling. This we see now in verse 6. Because Ezra, the Bible says, he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given, and the king had granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Now, the word ready scribe there means a diligent scribe. Literally, it means a quick scribe. So, a ready scribe is a scribe who is very quick, very fast. Okay, he can copy very quickly. But it means that he's very diligent. That's actually what it means. So, Ezra was a diligent scribe in the law of Moses. But we see here, as God prepared his birth, God also prepared his calling. An amazing truth. The hand of the Lord his God was upon him. God called him to be a scribe, and the hand of the Lord was upon him. Now, this phrase is repeated throughout Ezra chapter 7 and 8. As we think about this preparation, you will always see God, the hand of the Lord was upon Ezra. God prepared him. You see this, let me show you. We have seen this in verse 6. The hand of the Lord his God was upon him. Now you see this also in verse 9, the end of it, the good hand of his God upon him, right? So he did all these things according to the good hand of his God upon him. Now you go down to verse 28. The Bible says, do you see in the middle of it? I was strengthened, do you see that? As the hand of the Lord, my God, was upon me. Okay, I was strengthened, encouraged by it. Now you go to chapter 8, and in verse 18, the Bible goes on to say, and by the good hand of our God upon us. Okay, so now not just for Ezra, but for all the people God prepared. You go down to verse 22, the middle part, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. And finally, verse 31. In the middle of it, the hand of our God was upon us. Now, this phrase is repeated in Nehemiah again. But we will look at that when we come to Nehemiah. But this is the thought. As God has ordained your birth, God has given you a calling. And as God has called you, His good hand will be upon you. Do you know what your calling is? Then that is the question. Do you know what you are called to do? What you are called to be? Student? Later when you have finished your studies, as an adult, where you will work, do you know what you are called to be? Where you are called to do? What you are called to do? Your calling is very important. On the most fundamental level, each one of us, we are called to be Christians. Do you know that? Your heavenly calling. You are called to be sons and daughters of God. You see, I believe that the problems that many of us face is because we have forgotten our calling. Why we fall into a state of confusion Why we meet so many hurdles is because sometimes we have forgotten our calling. Now, I'm not talking about the times where you know this is God's will for you, and then there are obstacles which you face, and then you know that this is still God's will for you, you try to overcome these obstacles. But how about those times where, as you journey through life, you cruise through life, you do not know what you are doing, you do not know why you are here, you have no purpose, no meaning in life, and then you just try to cruise through life, and it results in confusion, it results in distraction, and you struggle, you do not know why you are here, what you are doing. And then you face problems here and problems there, and you do not know how to overcome these problems because you do not know your calling. Do you know your calling? Do you know what you are living for? Why you are living? Why are you on earth? Do you know the thing that distinguishes a Christian and an unbeliever is that a Christian has a calling which the unbeliever does not have? The mindset of an unbeliever. There was a secular song written by an unbeliever that just reflects the philosophy of life. This person asked, if that is all to it. Okay, that's the title of the song. If that is all to it. And this person went on to think about life. This person said, she was young, she was brought to a circus. She enjoyed the rides, she laughed at the clowns. But she just felt something missing. Is this all that there is to it? Then later on, as she grew older, she sought for relationships, love. She thought that love, human love, can fulfill her. But having several broken relationships, she asked herself, is that all that there is to it? Then she asked this question. Somebody asked her, why don't then, if life is so disappointing, why don't then just take your life, right? Just end it all. And she replied in a very profound way, but what if the life after death, that is the life after my life on earth, is as disappointing as the life I have now? What then? Is that all that there is to it? And then she concluded by saying, well, since life is so disappointing, life is so aimless, let us just drink booze every day and just party. You see, this is the mindset of an unbeliever, an unregenerated mind. They have no purpose. You, as a Christian, do you know your calling? Do you know why God has placed you here? If you do not know, search for it. Ask the Lord to reveal it to you. Remember, on the most basic level, you are a Christian. But now, are you called to be a Christian student? Are you called to be a Christian teacher? Are you called to be a Christian doctor? Are you called to be a Christian taxi driver? Where has the Lord called you and placed you? Do you know your calling? No matter how young you are, some of you may be still teens, and then you say, oh, these are thoughts for adults when they reach their midlife crisis, right? When they reach the middle age and then they have midlife crisis, they are trying to discover themselves. Then they think about these things. No, you need to know your calling. Adults also sometimes have fallen into a state where I'm past that age where I contemplate about the things of life. I'm past that already. Do you know your calling? Do you know your calling to be a parent? Do you know your calling to be a husband? Do you know this calling? God has prepared you. Now, if you are a husband already, you know your calling because you cannot say, am I called to be a husband? Because you are a husband already, right? If you are already a father, that is your calling. You're already called to be a father. Is this what God has called you to? Remember that your calling is what God has prepared you for. The challenge for Christians is to you to this calling. God prepared the calling of Ezra. Then God also prepared the circumstances. Now, verse 7 to verse 9. So God prepared his birth. God prepared his calling. God also prepared his circumstances. God prepared the time. Look at this. In verse 7, the Bible says there were the children of Israel, the priests, the Levites, the singers, the porters, and the Nethinims unto Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. Now, this group of people we will see in chapter 8. Okay, so we'll focus on these people later on. But realize this truth. Ask yourself, who is going to lead these people? The people wanted to return to the land of promise, but who will lead these people? Verse 8 and 9, he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king, for unto the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem. Now, in a nutshell, Ezra summarized for us 4 months, okay, they would take to return from Babylon to Jerusalem. But the point is this, God prepared the time for Ezra, the circumstances for Ezra. There was a need. The people needed to be led back into the land of promise. The decree will be passed later on, we will see, right? The decree has been given. The people are ready, all their possessions ready. Now they are waiting. Who will lead them back? God prepared the time. You know, when we look at the history of the children of Israel, this is what we always see. God prepares the right man for the right time. God prepares also the time for the men. God prepared Moses to lead the children out of Israel. We are going to study that in the book of Exodus. But you also see that the time was right. Why did God not set Moses 100 years earlier or 100 years later? Why did God set Moses at that time when the children of Israel were now crying out unto God, save us? The time was right. During the days of David fighting with the Philistines, God also prepared David for that time, but God also prepared the time for David. We also see how God prepared men like the judges in the days of the judges. We see prophets that were prepared to bring out warnings. Then we see in Ezra the prophets that God has sent. Haggai, Malachi, Zechariah, to encourage them, to warn them as they return back into the land of promise. God prepared the time for these prophets. We have seen earlier how God also prepared the time for Zerubbabel. God prepared the time for Joshua the high priest. Now God prepared the time for Ezra. Do you realize how comforting this is? That God is in control. God prepares the time. Now, why are you born, or why were you born 20 years ago? Or 30 years ago, or 40 years ago? Why were you not born 100 years ago? Why were you not born 2,000 years ago? Why were we born into this age and time? Has not God prepared this time for you and for me? And consider the time. What time is it? What kind of age are we living in? The kind of confusion that we are confronted with. Do you know that God has prepared this time for you? If you put this into perspective, right, when you consider the time that God has prepared for you, then we need to ask ourselves, why has God placed me here? Now, this was what Mordecai reminded Esther in Esther chapter 4, verse 14, you can look at that. Okay, please turn to Esther chapter 4, verse 14. And this is an important verse. This was what Mordecai reminded Esther. Remember, Esther was deciding, should she go to the king to plead on behalf of the children of Israel? If she does, what if the king does not hold out the scepter? She will lose her life. But if she doesn't, then the children of Israel may lose their lives. So what should she do? And this was what Mordecai said to Esther in Esther chapter 4, verse 14. If thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, if you keep quiet, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Are you born into Singapore for such a time as this? Now ask yourself, God prepared all these things for Ezra. God has prepared all these things for you. You have a birth, do you not? You have a calling. You also have a time. God prepared all these things for you. But for what? Is it to make money? It's very sad, because this is what many of us will focus on. Our birth, my life is to make money. My calling is to make money. The time that I have is to make money. Did God prepare all these things for you to make money? Did God prepare all these things for you just to party? Did God prepare all these things to you just to be happy? To enjoy comedy, to enjoy the laughter of the world? A worldly kind of happiness? Is that what God has prepared all these things for you? Did God prepare all these things for you just to cruise through life? And the sad thing is that we cruise through life, and then now later you are 50, you are 60, you are 70, you do not know what you have done through your life. That life is most miserable. What has God prepared these things for? Search out your calling. Why am I doing what I'm doing? The place that we are born into, our birth, the time. Realize that all these things are by divine appointment. Don't murmur and cry, I want to be somewhere else. I want to go to another place. God has placed you here. Now, if God has directed you that you should go to somewhere else, like a missionary to another country to serve, sure, God has revealed to you, then go. But while you have not gone, while you are still here, don't murmur, don't complain, don't cry. Why am I here? Why is life so miserable? Why has God placed me here? Is it not for such a time as this? We ought to ask the question which David asked. Is there not a cause? Why has God given me the family that I have? Is it not for me to be a father in my home for a time such as this? Why has God given me a father like this? Is it not for me to be a son in my home for a time such as this? Why has God given me this church? Is it not for a time such as this to serve, to labor together? Where has God placed you? Couples as well. Sometimes you wonder. You think about the time. You want to plan. You want to prepare. But think. Has God given me a husband or a wife for a time such as this? Has God given me my children for a time such as this? God prepared. God prepared Ezra. Now, what should our response be? We need to respond by preparing ourselves. And that's the second thought, from verse 10 to verse 11. So as God prepared all these things, will you now prepare yourself for the Lord? Now, verses 10 and 11. Before we look at verse 10, I'd like us to look at verse 11 first. Because at the end of this verse, there seems to be a few lines that are rather obscure, but they are significant and important. Hey, look at the end of verse 11, where the Bible says that King Artaxerxes gave unto Ezra the priest, the scribe, even a scribe of the words of the commandments of the Lord and of his statutes to Israel. Why so detailed? Why the words so clear that Ezra was prepared to be a scribe of the commandments of the Lord and of his statutes? Now, Ezra must remember his calling as a scribe. And as this is his calling, to teach, to remind, to rebuke, he must fulfill it. Now, it's very interesting. Okay, that the word statutes, and I'm going a bit off tangent here, but the word statutes means what God has ordained. You can restate it as the decrees of God, right? So, Ezra was to copy the words of the commandments of the Lord and the decrees to Israel. Now, verse 12 onwards will be the decree of Artaxerxes. Do you see the contrast here? Even when they think of the decree of Artaxerxes, they must remember the decree of God. Okay, so the decree to Israel, the statutes to Israel, what God has ordained to Israel. You must remember the decrees of God. When Christians live their life, they must always live their life in the decrees of God. So this was Ezra's calling. Okay? But as Ezra remembered his calling, now he prepared himself. So let's focus now on verse 10, how Ezra prepared himself. The Bible says, Ezra prepared his heart. The heart here describes the entire being of a person. It includes the will, it includes the thoughts. It means that he sets his entire mind, his heart, his entire being on the Lord. The word to prepare is a word that means to establish or to set it to be very firm. So Ezra established his heart upon the Lord. That was what Ezra did. Prepare your heart. Prepare your heart. Go down on your knees. Pray. Ask the Lord to prepare your heart. And what did Ezra prepare his heart to do? He prepared his heart to seek the law of God. Literally, it means to search out, okay? To search out the law of God. Ezra gave himself to searching out the law of God. Now, you remember King Solomon? At the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, do you remember what Solomon said? Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Moreover, the preacher was wise. He searched out acceptable words of God. That was what Solomon did. He gave himself to search out many proverbs and to write these things down. He searched out the words of God. That was how Solomon concluded the book of Ecclesiastes. You see, through Solomon's whole life, he has been searching. When you begin the book of Ecclesiastes, you will see how he searched for happiness, how he searched for wisdom. And he tried to find search for fulfillment and satisfaction in so many things. He searched for fulfillment through money. He searched for fulfillment in food and drink. He searched for fulfillment in the choirs, the music that he listened to. He tried to search for fulfillment in all these things. And the conclusion of it all is vanity of vanities. He could not find it out. Then, the Bible says he searched out acceptable words. He searched out the words of God. That was what Solomon did. This was what Ezra did. He prepared his heart. He established his heart to the searching out of God's word. You know, Singaporeans spend a lot of time preparing for things, right? And sometimes we say we have no time for quiet time. Do you do your quiet time? Sometimes we say we have no time, I'm too busy. I'm just wondering, Singaporeans like to plan and prepare a lot. Before you come out of the house this afternoon, how long did you take to prepare to dress yourself up? Of course, this does not apply to the men, right? Because the men, like me, I don't know about you, but for me, because I don't want to just, you know, lump all of us together, but for me, I take 5 to 10 minutes to prepare myself. I know some men, they may take very long time to prepare themselves. Half an hour, they put makeup, they comb their hair, they dress themselves. Sometimes men also paint their fingernails, right? I hope none of us has done that. But today you see men also take a long time. But how long did you take to prepare yourself? I've heard stories of how some ladies, okay, may take minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 50 minutes, hours perhaps, to prepare themselves. Why? To look beautiful. Okay, fine. I mean, it's good. When you want to come to the Lord's house, to look presentable, right? That's a good thing. Don't come to the Lord's house sloppy, Right? Your clothes are not iron. It's not, yeah, you should come prepared. Presentable. Of course, you go out, you also want to look presentable. But you spend a lot of time preparing for these things. And yes, it's place. But do you prepare your heart to seek the Lord? Every morning, you do the same thing over and over again. You prepare yourself to go out. I've not gone for prom before, but some students, after graduation, especially after junior college, you will have the prom night, right? Then you will see how people would dress. They would rent suits and all that, and then people will go and make their hair. They'll spend like how many minutes or hours to go and do their hair just for one time. Okay, then after that, they'll paint their nails, their pedicure, manicure, makeup, and then they'll rent the dress, everything to prepare for that prom night. We prepare all these things. Do you prepare your heart to seek the Lord? You know, Solomon said at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes that of the making of books, there will be no end. And much study is the weariness of the flesh. Oh, this applies also to students. You prepare for exams, right? And you should, you must, I hope you do prepare for exam, your examinations. How long do you spend preparing for them? How anxious you are sometimes in the preparing for them? Do you prepare your heart to seek the Lord? You prepare for your work life through your studies. If you are going to be an engineer, you spend 6 years studying in primary school, 4 or 5 years studying in secondary school, another 2 to 3 years in IT, poly, or JC. Then after that, you spend 4 to 5 years in university. All for what? To prepare yourself for your job, for your work life. And you should, if that is your calling, you should do your best in these things. But I'm just trying to point out how so lopsided our lives are. We spend more than 15 years preparing for our vocation, for our life on earth. To what end? Then how much time do we spend preparing ourselves to seek the law of God? You know, you study all these things. At the end of the day, do you realize how worthless they are? I'm not discouraging you, but if let's say you study engineering, engineers will tell you they don't really remember a lot of these things that they study in school. You can ask econ students. It's not a few times when you ask a fourth year student, they'll tell you, I don't remember what I learned in first year anymore. You can ask a law student, it's the same. This is common. Do you still remember the algebra that you learn in secondary school, differentiation? I only know differentiation, but I can't remember what differentiation is about. What dx, dy, and all these things. But that's about it. All I remember for maths now is how to buy things and sell things, right? Okay, I don't really sell things, just to buy things, and then to get the change, to make sure the change is correct. Let me just do simple calculations. We spend our lives studying these things. If you are, of course, you are a chemist, you should. If you're a mathematician, you should. That's your calling. But above all else, are you not called to be a Christian? Do you prepare your heart, establish your heart in the seeking of the law of God? How well do you know God's word? How much of God's word have you memorized? Not just memorized in the thoughts, but how much of it has permeated your life? Where it's real to you. You think about it all the time because it's such an essential part of you. You know, there are some professionals who are, when they are very skilled in a subject, right? They are so skillful in it. They no longer have to think of these formulas because it's really so much a part of them. When they see the symptoms in a patient, for example, if they are a doctor, immediately they know, right? These symptoms means this problem. They can diagnose it. They don't have to go step by step. It's not so much a part of them. If only we can be as skillful with the word of God. Ezra set his heart upon the word of God. Are you prepared? Do you prepare your heart to seek the Lord? Then Ezra prepared also to do it, to obey it. We have seen what obedience is, what it requires. But Ezra prepared, he set his heart to obey the will of God. Now, it comes together with the searching of God's word. When you search out God's word, you know God's word. And now as you know God's word, do you obey God's word? The sad thing is that sometimes many Christians, when they listen to sermons preached over the pulpit, they grow excited for the moment. Maybe while they're sitting here, their hearts are stirred. Right? They feel that they are revived. But the moment they go out of the sanctuary, do you obey? Do you do it? This is why you need to establish your heart to obey the will of God. Is your life a prepared life? A life prepared in obedience? Now, this ties in very much with your call. If the Lord has called you, do you sometimes say, I'm not ready? You know, sometimes, especially the younger generation today, they start to get married later and later, right? And after that, after they are married, they also have children later and later. Why? Because I want to enjoy my life first. I don't want to have the burden of a child. So they get married, but they don't want to have children first. So they wait and wait and wait. I mean, of course, if the Lord's timing is the best. But it depends. Why do you want to delay? Why do you want to drag things out? Young couples also, why do you want to drag things out? Sometimes this will lead to sin. Is it because of selfish reason? Will you say, if the Lord directs, I will obey. I prepare my heart to obey the Lord. Now, do I know everything? Because you want to plan, right? One reason why many young Singaporeans don't want to get married or don't want to have children, because they want to plan. Do I have enough savings for my children? Right, the education for my children. All the diapers, all the milk powder, very expensive. They want to plan. But you prepare your heart to obey. You set your heart, you establish your heart on the word of God to obey. This applies so many other things. If God calls you to give up a certain thing, are you willing and ready to obey? There are testimonies of some who by God's grace have been called to the full-time ministry. And some have shared how they struggle sometimes for years, 3 years, 4 years, because they want to obey, but at the same time they are worried. Then they have this struggle. Will you obey? Will you obey? Will you bring up your children not for selfish reason? If you are a parent, you cannot say no. Will you obey? I've challenged the church several times. Family worship. Time spent in prayer. Would you obey? Will parents start fulfilling their calling and their responsibility as parents? Will you obey? You cannot say, no, I'm not ready to be a parent. But you are a parent already. This applies to the leaders of the church. Will pastors, elders, deacons, will you obey? Preachers as well. You know, preachers have a high calling. Preachers prepare a lot of things sometimes. We prepare our notes. Right? We do our research. We prepare the setting. Make sure that the aircon is cool enough. Not too cold so that you won't fall asleep. Not too warm so that it's too uncomfortable for you. So we prepare the setting. These things are prepared, but do preachers and pastors also prepare their hearts to seek the Lord? Do Sunday school teachers prepare? Not just talking about preparing of materials. You prepare your lessons. You must. But have you established your heart to seek the Lord, to do His will? Because remember, your testimony to the children are more powerful than the words that you speak. You know, there are some who say that it's much more easier to preach a sermon than to leave out one. For teachers, it's the same thing. It's easier to teach a lesson than to leave out one. But in order to teach or preach a message with power, you must have lived out at least 10. Because that's where people can see through your life. Is this really something that is real? You're passionate about it. You're sincere about it because this truth has first touched your heart. Ezra prepared his heart. Remember, he's a scribe. He has to teach the commandments of God. So this was why he prepared his heart to seek the law, to do it, and to teach. Now, to teach the word of God in Israel. This was the solemn calling of Ezra. Each one of us have our calling. Why has God placed us where we are? Now, we have thought upon two things this afternoon. In conclusion, just to summarize, God prepared. God prepared Ezra. He prepared his birth. God prepared Ezra's birth. God prepared Ezra's calling. God prepared the time for Ezra. In response to that, Ezra must prepare. He must prepare his heart. Establish his heart. He must prepare his heart in the seeking of God's word. He must establish his heart in the doing of God's word. He must establish his heart in the teaching of God's word. Don't let Apostle Paul's warning go unheeded. In Hebrews chapter 5, where he says, the time has come where you ought to be teachers. You have need for one to teach you also. Teach, if that is your calling. And as you prepare all these things, conclusion, ask yourself, is there not a cause? Has not God set us where we are for a time such as this? In your school, in your workplace, what is your calling? Is there not a cause? At home, what is your calling? To your brothers, to your sisters, is there not a cause? God has placed us where we are for a time such as this. Will you stand up and be counted? Well, this is a message for every young man, especially. This is a message for every parent, every son, and every daughter. What are we then to do? Prepare your heart. Don't pray just for an easy life, but pray for God's grace to fulfill His will. Earlier, we sang a hymn, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? I'd just like to close with the words of this hymn. This was written by Isaac Watts, where he thought upon how each one of us are called to be Christian soldiers as well. The battles that we are fighting every day. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil and endure the pain supported by thy word. Thy saints in all this glorious war shall conquer though they die. They see the triumph from afar by faith discerning eye. When that illustrious day shall rise and all thy armies shine in robes of victory through the skies, the glory shall be thine. Are you a soldier of the cross? Are you a prepared man?